Just been working on your heart this week. Anybody want to just go on up, start up here? Brother Dan, come on up.
Hey, this has really been great, I'll tell you. I am so glad I came. And I've been supercharged by the preaching and everything and the singing. But I do want to make an apology to the guys in my room. I was a little worn out and battling this cold, you know, so I may have cut a little Z's last night. But at least one person got sleep, eh? I slept good. Well, I apologize. You'll get sleep tonight, amen. But this is really great. I've been to retreats before. I've been to men's things. And I'll tell you what I like. I like the singing. I love when men sing. I love when the roof is lifted up and you hear men's voices. That is so good. And I also like the camaraderie. I like when I just went over and talked to some of the guys from the home. And we just talked. And then they just reached their hand out. It was like Christ just... You know, that was our bond, Jesus Christ. No matter where you go, I don't even know who you are. But you shake hands, you just say, you know Jesus and I know Jesus, we're brothers. You're probably closer to me than some blood, you know, my family. And it's just wonderful, I'll tell you. Jesus Christ is the bond that just holds it all together, isn't he? So that's really been great for me in the preaching, just teaching me all over again how to love God. Just love God and obey God. Boy, the simple things, I was just talking to Pastor Pittman, the simple things are what we get away from, isn't it? We try to find all these other rabbit trails. So there's some things we just need to never get over. Amen. I'm not going to get over this men's retreat. And I'm not going to get over my salvation. Amen. I'm not going to get over that night, June 14th, 10:30 at night. Not everybody remembers the time, but it was 10:30. And I got on my knees and I asked Jesus to save me. But it was the work of a Baptist preacher that just kept knocking at my door every Tuesday night. I'd hear that knock on the door, and I knew he's out soul winning again. And he'd come, and he'd ask me questions. And Dan, do you still, you know, do you know the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? And do you know God? And I'd say yes to a couple things. He'd leave the track, and he only lived across the street, so he'd go to the church, he'd get a soul winner, and he'd come back and go in his neighborhood. And I'd go back down, and my life would continue on as it was. And what I was a drug addict. Pretty heavy into methamphetamines and cocaine for about 12 years. And it just ruined my life. It just takes your soul away from you, you know. My life was a mess. You know, you're so full of guilt and shame about what you're doing, but you just want to get high again. And, but, you know, he knew that. I think he knew something was wrong with my family. And to look at his family, they're all so happy and full of joy. And I'm like, boy, what do they have that I don't have, that I feel so... alone every time I go home and I just sit there with my drugs and I'm not getting any better here, you know. Things are really bad. And I mean, it's really bad when your mother calls on the phone and the phone's right there and you hear her talking. Dan, I know you're sitting there. I know you're sitting there. Please pick up the phone. I don't want to talk to anybody. People could be all around you. I just felt all by myself, you know. I was just trying to fill something up in my heart that wasn't there. It was Jesus that needed to come into my heart, you know. But that Baptist preacher didn't stop coming, you know, and every Tuesday night, there'd be the knock again. You'd think I'd realize that he's going to be there every Tuesday night. But one night I was, he started a Bible study with me in the Gospel of John, and I just started that Bible study with him, and he showed me who Jesus Christ was, and he showed me what I was, a lost sinner. And that started making its effect and its inroads into my heart. And it was one Saturday night after we had one of those meetings in the afternoon, one of those Bible studies, that for some reason I was downstairs in my family room watching TV. And I happened to be watching a Baptist preacher preach to his church on television. Now, that's not my normal television viewing by any means. But here I am watching this. And at the end, he had preached on heaven. And at the end, he gave an invitation to his church. And when he did, it's just like I was so overwhelmed with the fact that I was lost and that John had told me how to be saved, showed me in the Bible. I muted the television set and I got on my knees and I said as simply as I could, Lord, have mercy on me, sinner. Please just come into my heart and save me. From that moment on, when I got off my knees, I knew I was saved. I knew I was going to heaven. And I never touched the drugs again. Amen. Not one. Amen. And he just took the taste away. Amen. And it's been a great life, and it's been a great men's retreat. I'm just so thankful I was able to come.
Yeah, come on up.
Morning.
Hey, morning.
My name is Patrick, and just want to tell you how I got saved. And what spoke to me about this week was, you know, that verse, "Wholly follow the Lord."
Amen.
And you know what? When I tell you about how I got saved, it's about people who are like Joshua, and they wholly followed the Lord. There's a guy called Drew Stewart, who I've never even met. And he knocked on a guy called Bernard Mitchell's door. And, and you know what? Drew Stewart was wholly following the Lord. He was on the mission field.
Amen.
And he knocked on this guy's door, and he wholly followed the Lord. He brought his children to church. And you know what? His daughter got saved. And 8 years later, she invited me to church. She's now my girlfriend. She invited me to church. And then another man who wholly followed the Lord, Jerome Pittman, on the mission field.
Amen.
He led me to the Lord. And you know, 2.5 years ago, on the 29th of October 2006, I trusted Christ as my Savior. And it was all because of people who were trying to be like Joshua and trying to wholly follow the Lord. And that's what spoke to me most this week. And if you turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 8. "Neither did we eat any man's bread for nought, but wrought with labor and travail, night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you." And if you go down to verse 10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." And you know what? I'm going home. I'm going to work for the Lord.
Amen.
And you know what? As Pastor Ledbetter said here the first day we got here, he said, you know, it's about shaking up the cage with the bird in it. I'm going home to shake up North County, Dublin.
Yeah!
And we should all be going home to wherever our churches is, wherever we've come from. We're going to shake up that community. We're going to get people saved. We're going to get them in church, and we're going to start revival, like Pastor Hill was talking about the other night. And you know what? If we're not going to work for the Lord, we don't deserve to eat.
Yeah!
We don't deserve to eat. And you know, if you go to Proverbs 6, if you go to Proverbs 6, Proverbs 6 and verse 10, "Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." You know what? I'm talking to me, but I'm talking to you as well. You know, we're just so lazy. Oh, what am I going to do? I'm tired. I've been at work all week. No, you know what? When my 40 hours in work is over, that's when my work for the Lord should begin, and my real work should begin. And you know what? If I don't start working for God, I'm not going to eat. And you know what someone came and they said a testimony, a girl in our church called Daniela. She's following God, and she went to Thailand recently, and she came back, you know, and she asked us a real question. A guy asked her over there, you know, it's not about, you know, what would you do for God? Will you go soul winning? Will you go to church? Will you give up whatever sins in your life? It's, you know, what wouldn't you do for Christ? What wouldn't you do? Is there something that you wouldn't do? Think about that. And if there's something you wouldn't do, you need to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not gonna go against my parents. Go against your parents. If they're not saved, you need to follow the Lord first and then follow your parents. My family isn't saved, but I'm still going to go to church. I'm still going to follow the Lord. And you know, it's about, you know, maybe I'm going right now, I'm going 85%, and I need to go 100%. And you know, it's all about faith. And you know, I'm going home to shake up that cage, and you all need to go home.
I appreciate that testimony, Patrick. I knew Drew Stewart before, back when I came, I visited here in 1998, and we actually had a man, our church supported this guy, David Mulvane. It was the last thing, I actually helped direct and read Mission Prayer Letters, and Dave, the ministry was gone here in Ireland. I was just like, okay, let's go to the next one. And I just kept on, just like, to me, it was a week, there was so nothing going on. I thought, man, you never hear about anybody getting saved or anything. You know, it's just like, and I felt, I actually just like sort of backed off and got away. I thought, man, I could do a better job than them guys over there. So, few years later, I surrendered to God to do anything He wanted me to do. And someone asked me to pray to come over to Ireland. And he actually put me in a place where I thought others could do nothing. And I came over here, and I didn't want to be a pastor. No intentions. I was a Joshua. I was going to work with Pastor Fulton and work with him, and I did. And then he left, and then there was no one else to take the work, so I met.
Yes, sir.
And now people are looking and saying, man, the work of it. People ain't getting saved, man. There's like, it's weak. And I need it this week.
Amen.
You do not believe it. So, I am so encouraged by that testimony, because fruit of men that went on before is popping up.
Right.
Someday, I know that I know that I know, man. There's going to be a harvest in Ireland.
Amen. There
is. It is coming. And we've been praying for years.
Amen.
Faithfully that God would bring a revival.
That's right.
Souls being saved. And I just want to thank you, Pastor. Because that's such a blessing.
Quickly, somebody else. Yes, sir. Come on up, Brother Hannes.
I just want to say what really spoke to me and has been in my mind for the last 2 weeks, basically. And it's, we started off with Joshua 24, choose you this day and you will serve.
Yeah,
now this day, if you're a father, if you're a daddy, you'll know exactly where I'm coming from. You, you'll have to bear with me. My accent came brutal. I'm Afrikaans-speaking South African, so Kieran can tell you my accent is brutal. You need some faith to follow what I'm saying. But you know, I think if we start this morning from this side and we end there, I would just ask each man and each boy here today to tell us the gospel and to tell us about the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm 100% sure that each and every one will be able to do so.
Mm.
Let's take it a step further. Let's go beyond this room. Let's say we're all Baptists here. I mean, what about the saved in the world today? You know, Presbyterians, maybe Methodists, wherever they are. If you strip all of that away, what have you got left? We don't have a doctrine. We've got this.
Amen.
We only have the Word of God.
Amen.
And it's only by this Word that all of that will stand or fall. Turn with your Bibles to Acts 26, verse 26. Acts 26, 26. It says this. This is Paul. Paul's got the opportunity to witness to a king. He bears his soul before this king, and he speaks. He says the following. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Why can Paul say this? Because King Agrippa was a Jew. He knew the Old Testament. He had the knowledge. We can say today all this knowledge that we have about the gospel, about the blood of Christ. Can we deny that we have that this morning? No, we can't. Listen to what he says. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Folks, that's a tragedy. You know what's even more than a tragedy? That's happening in our homes today. I might even go a step further to say it might actually happen in this room today. That we have all this and we are yet not persuaded to follow Christ. That's what spoke to me over the last 2 weeks, that we've been studying this particular section of Acts. But folks, we need to get real with this, you know. This is the Bible. That's all that we have left. This is the Word of God. This is our basis. On the flip side of the coin, listen to this now. If you go to Psalms 5 and Psalms 4, if King Agrippa did trust and repent of his sins, You know, the psalmist says in the morning when he wakes up, his first words is toward the Lord. In Psalm 4, you know, when he goes to bed at night, he goes to sleep immediately. That's got the sense of hitting the pillow sleeping because of peace that we can only have from one source. There's no other source of peace. How is this possible? Deuteronomy 50, verse 11, says this. Listen to this. This is possible if you follow Christ this morning. In your homes, if you come to the point to realize, but I have all this head knowledge, I'm living in a godly family, but yet I grew up with this, but this thing hasn't struck my heart yet. This is some consolation. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee. It is in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I know I already got up here last night, but just want to share a testimony with you and just some words of encouragement. The Lord really has spoke to my heart this week. If you haven't been stirred, then you haven't been paying attention. And I was wondering, Lord, what are you going to do today? And it started in my devotions. And I just want to share with you three verses. You don't have to turn there. But in Joshua chapter 17 and chapter 18, verse 18 of Joshua chapter 17 says this, but the mountain shall be thine, for this is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. Notice that, shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. This is Joshua talking to the house of Joseph, talking to Ephraim and to Manasseh, telling him, hey, they're big, they're strong, they got great weapons, but it doesn't matter. You're going to drive them out. You're going to drive them out. That's a promise. Joseph told him that, or Joshua told him that. But then also in chapter 18, just two verses down, verses 2 and 3, Joshua says this, and there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes, which had not yet received their inheritance. And notice what Joshua says unto them. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go and to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? How long are you slack? You know what? God's promised that they're going to drive them out. God's promised that they're going to inherit the land. God's already given it to them, according to what the Bible says, the fathers hath given you. It's already given it to them. But they were just sitting back, not willing to go out and claim it. God's given us the victory.
Amen.
You know, there's a song I used to love to sing when I was a teenager, and I used to hear my dad singing it all the time. It goes like this. I've read the back of the book and we win. No more living in darkness, we'll be living at home with him. You see, there ain't no need to worry about it if we're gonna win. I've read the back of the book and we win. You know what, guys?
Amen.
If you've read the back of the book, you already know the end of the story.
Amen.
We have a promise. God's promised to give us the victory. But why are we sitting on our hands? How long are you slack concerning that which God has promised to give you?
Amen.
Go out and get it.
Amen.
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 Just a quick testimony. You know, I came down here, and I came down, I think I was more in the flesh than I was in the spirit. You know, I was thinking about leadership. You know, I surrendered to God 3 years ago to do RU ministry as well to Leighton Kelly. His testimony, he just broke my heart. I was sitting there wondering what I should do for the Lord. He showed me what I should do. But you know, when the Lord called me, I didn't want to go. I did not want to go. I said, no, I can't do this. I said, I can't do it. But I prayed and prayed. I went to the pastor. I went and I followed the Lord. And I stepped out. And I stepped out in the first year, and I stepped out with fear. And I was shaking like I am now. And the first time I spoke, my tongue got stuck to the roof of my mouth. And the pastor had to go away and get me a glass of water. You know? I was afraid. But you know, I had high hopes that first year, and I kept going. And the second year, you know, I started running into real problems, people. People. And I started realizing that people have problems, you know. And I wasn't ready to handle them. I knew what the answer to their problem was, but I didn't know how to handle people. Okay? No, this is year three. We're just coming up to the end of year three, and I'm beginning to find out that God still has to do a work in me. You know, God has an awful lot of work to do with me, because I know what kind of heart that I have. I came down here with a hard heart. You know, I really did. I don't want to have a hard heart. I want to serve the Lord, you know. I don't want to have this hard heart. I want to love God. I want to love God like he was talking there this morning. And you know what broke my heart this morning? Was when he sang, when Jesus died on the cross. Yeah. And the victory that he had when he died on that cross. And this morning I just saw for the first time, really, the victory that's in Jesus Christ. That he went to that cross. He took everything that was thrown at him. Everything. He took, it didn't matter, he was his own brothers, he was his own people. No matter they were enemies, he took the whole lot and he brought it to the cross and he gave his life and he shed his blood for my sin. You know what I mean? He went to that cross. And I said to myself, well, if he can do that, you know, I can run over you. I can deal with people. And you know, it has after softening my heart. And I didn't want to go home without telling you.
Amen.
That Daddy is gone.
Praise the Lord. All right, I want some young person. Tommy, get up here.
I was saved when I was 13. That's 2009 years ago. I remember being outside one day before I was saved, and I was just thinking about heaven and hell, and I wanted to get saved. And then my parents went to Pastor Ledbetter's church, and this was about 2 weeks after you came here. And something like that anyways. And then they got me going there, and I've been saved ever since. So I just praise the Lord for that. And I thank the Lord for sending Pastor Ledbetter here and all the preachers. So.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Barry, get up here quickly. Barry. Yeah, you.
Good morning, sirs. Okay, I just made this sermon yesterday, so I mightn't remember much of it. So, but it's Daniel chapter 3, please. It's just something in the Bible I was reading this week, and it just was really a great encouragement to me. Daniel chapter 3. Verse 13. So if any of you read your Bibles, you'll know the story about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar made a statue of himself, which was 60 cubits tall, I believe, and he made a decree in the kingdom that if anybody wouldn't worship the statue, that they'd be thrown into the midst of a burning fiery furnace instantly. So it was an instant judgment. But Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego refused to bow down to the statue. And in verse 13 it says, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto the men, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Skip down to verse 16, which is the clincher.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter.
So this is really an encouragement to me. Verse 16, they say, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, careful in the King James Bible doesn't mean cautious. It means, as I found out a few months ago, it means like not caring. They don't care about answering. They're not nervous about answering. They're not fretted about it. They're before Nebuchadnezzar and his counselors and his captains of his army. There's just three men up against the whole kingdom. The whole kingdom has gone worshipping this golden idol, and there are just three men. Like, there's how many men in here? Maybe there's 80 of us and the whole world out there, but there's just three of these guys, and maybe Daniel, maybe four, up against the whole empire, and the whole empire is worshipping a golden idol. And how often people like us go out into the world and we're afraid to stand up for God. We're, like, when I'm at work and someone brings up some issue, evolution or something, there might be like 10 people talking about how great evolution is, or how the Cro-Magnon man evolved from blah blah blah, and I'm just there sitting there, I'm like, I'm not going to say anything, you know. But here Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are before the king of the whole empire, and they said, we are not careful to answer this matter. They weren't careful about standing up for the truth. They weren't careful, number two, about pain. They didn't care about being even thrown into the fire. Like, if we stand up for the truth in Ireland, we're hardly going to get thrown into a fire. The most we're going to get is a bit of mocking. And three, they weren't careful about people's opinions of them. They just cared about what God's opinion of them. My favorite verse. Well, first, I just want to read verse 18. Even if God wasn't going to deliver them, they said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. And we need the same defiance, that we're not going to compromise the truth in Ireland.
Joshua, live better. Get up here. Quick. Fast. Hurry.
Well,
it's different from us.
Oh, very, yeah, totally. Well, I guess I just want to say how great this ministry has been, you know, and just want to thank my dad for doing it, you know, for like 14 years, was it? Yeah, it's just been excellent, and just the week and catching up with old friends and all that, and it's been excellent, and we were playing rugby on the beach yesterday. It was very fun, and yeah. So it's been an excellent ministry.
Yes, yep. Come here, yep. I'm looking. Who knew?
Volunteering me.
Who are you volunteering? This guy or that guy? You're going like over this. I don't know. Go ahead.
I'm taking off my jacket in only 5 minutes. Well, what you're going to hear is just from the heart, because I've nothing prepared. Pastor told me to get up, so I gotta go. Huh? Be a Joshua. Do what Moses said. Amen? Okay? My pastor's 10 feet tall. Right? So next time you mock him, you're gonna take on me. Okay? Amen? My mouth, amen? Listen, folks, seriously. Revelation 4:11, that's my light verse, because the pastor. We preached on that during church a few months ago. It was mentioned, but there was something in a preaching message that I learned from him, and it says, but thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. He created you, piece of dirt, for him. And then he loves you for it. Imagine loving a piece of dirt. I mean, look at, you know, I wrote down some things there, just, you know, not notes for to say what I'm saying here, but like direction from God, faithful man. Every time he stood up and sang that, I go, is this a new song? Just, you know what, have a smile on your face. Amen. Don't be the Christian, you know. God is so good, isn't he? Isn't he? I mean, the preaching, Pastor Hill, it was a blessing.
Amen.
You know what? Leighton, just, it was just amazing. Amen. Pastor Pittman. Amen. But you know what? I keep messing up his name, right? But Pastor
evenly. I get it there. God touched my heart in his preaching. Right? And that was probably the quietest moment. But you know what? God touched my heart. Something he said. I have notes about it that I'm going to work on and study and praise God. Because, I mean, he just knows each and every individual's heart, your soul and what it's about. And he took you out of mire. So listen, thank you so much. My life has been changed.
Amen. You know,
my life's been changed.
Amen.
Amen.
Another Josh.
Another
Joshua.
Preach. Okay. Well, I guess I'll just give some of my testimony. Dad's a Christian and mom as well, and I grew up mostly in a Christian family all of my life. And when I was little, I thought I accepted Jesus in my heart, and I thought that I was saved. And well, I wasn't. And I went on the majority of my life living like I was and pretending to be something that I wasn't, and I got very good at it. And it wasn't until 2006 at camp, and that started it for me. It was a lot of convictions and things that really got me going. And then we went to Target the Heart in August as well, in September, or August, and Ruth Ledbetter gave her testimony, and she talked about how she had doubted for a long time and kept holding it back and didn't just do it and make sure. And it was October 9th, 2006, 12:20 a.m. I wanted to know because I didn't know. And I was in Caleb's room, actually, because I don't know why. Someone was there. So I was in Caleb's room on his bed, and I couldn't take it anymore. And I got on my knees and asked God to make it sure for me. But one of the big things, though, is I guess it applies not just to salvation, but in anything. You can easily be a hypocrite and fake things so easily. And I think it's a challenge to all of us that God knows your heart, whether people do or not. God does, and I think that you should think about what you're doing and make sure that you're doing what God wants you to do and not faking it for other people.
Okay, so what about Easter morning?
And last Sunday I got baptized.
Hey!
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
I want to say it's a privilege to be here. I didn't raise my hand last night. I had my sermon ready, but my desire really was to hear some of you Irish men preaching and getting up here, giving your testimony. You guys are the hope for your country. We as missionaries, except for a few of us, Brother Ledbetter has his passport and everything, his citizenship. But some of us, you know, we could be kicked out in the next 3 years. And it's going to take you guys to rise up. And I pray you do that, whether we leave or not, truthfully. And now, I got saved when I was 19 years old. I wasn't Catholic, I wasn't Baptist, but I was lost. And the Lord said, I got saved, and God changed my life. I mean, I was just as worldly as anybody. And heading down the wrong road, I could have been like any of these men in RU. The Lord saved my soul and changed my life. My parents thought I was in a cult, but they let me do whatever I was doing. My mom was happy with the changes in my life, and she got saved when I went off to Bible college.
Amen.
And surrendered to be a missionary, and I'm here today. And in Proverbs 4, I'm going to give you something that's just a little truth from Proverbs that's been a help to me and been a blessing to me and just something that's really helped to guide me and keep me on the right path. It's not ultra spiritual, but it is from the Bible. Proverbs 14:15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. And then in Proverbs 27:12 it says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." here the Bible, it talks about two kinds of people that and contrasts them against each other. You have the prudent and you have the simple. Now, a simple person is somebody who's lacking wisdom. They've never been taught. They don't know anything. They don't know to do right, or they don't know, you know, how to do right. And then the prudent man is somebody who's cautious or practically wise. In Proverbs 27:12, it says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Now, I believe God, between those two people, God doesn't want us to be simple people. God wants us to be prudent and be practically wise to know where we're going. And according to this verse, if we're going to be prudent, we need to first look ahead and foresee evil. But there are many areas of a Christian in a Christian's life that if we would just be prudent and think ahead and look ahead, we could keep ourselves from temptation and even sin. I mean, that's what you did when you got saved. You were looking ahead. You saw your soul was going to go to hell someday. And you made the decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And He saved your soul from hell because you were looking ahead and foreseeing the evil. Many times people, you talk to them about the gospel and they're not looking ahead. They're just looking at the next day. They're not thinking about where their soul's going to go. And they don't want to think about it, because they know what the truth is in their own heart. When I was now growing up in public schools and different things like that, I didn't understand Christianity. I didn't have the same standards. I didn't have the same convictions. And I thought about things differently. And when I started dating, I had a wife that was pure, and she wasn't my wife yet. I had a girlfriend that was pure. She was beautiful. And I wanted to, and when I first went off to Bible college, I didn't feel, the life I lived before I got saved, I didn't feel like I deserved anything. And I didn't feel like I measured up. But God showed me, you know, it doesn't matter if you measure up, you're saved and you have a new life now. And when I started dating, I didn't want to fall into sin. I had temptations. I had things in my life that I could have gone back to very easily. And I tried to keep my distance from my wife. I kept a book between us when we sat next to each other. Why? Because I knew I liked that girl, man. She was beautiful. And I knew that if I rubbed up against her, if I touched her in any way, it would stir up an emotion inside of me. And it could develop and become uncontrollable. And I was trying to foresee that evil. You know, before you watch something on television, think about where that's going to lead you. Before you bring your kids somewhere, you know, you should go there first and check it out. Make sure there's nothing there that a Christian shouldn't be seeing. Before you watch something on television, make sure you know what you're watching. You know, I didn't get saved till I was 19, but I'm a new creature now. Amen. And I think about a few things differently. But my memory, when I think of things back in the past, you know, maybe I watched a movie, maybe I did something back then. And when I think of those things in the past, I think of them through the eyes of a lost person. And I liked it as a lost person. But then I go back and I watch it again, or I see it again, or I go to that place again. And I realize the wickedness that was actually there. Next, hide yourself. You know, if we know temptation's coming, we need to hide ourselves and look ahead, foresee the evil and hide ourselves. You know, it'd be wise, you know, not to, you know, teenagers, it'd be wise not to go kissing girls. Yeah. It would be wise not to go touching their hands. It would be wise to keep a bit of distance, even invite them to church. To not talk about, you know, to not talk about things that only married people should be doing with anybody, even the same gender, until you're married. You might be thinking, well, Brother Keith, you're a fanatic. Well, okay, I'm a fanatic, but it's kept me safe. And it's a truth in Proverbs, and I'm trying to foresee the evil and hide my family and myself from temptation. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I'm ready to go another 2 days. Amen. There's a lot more preaching. I guess we're going to have to listen to our preacher tomorrow morning.
Amen.
Get some more manna.
Amen.
Learn some more truth. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, one more time we come And we say thank you.
Amen.
Lord, we love you. Got some long ways to go, so I pray for much safety for all of these men. And God, more than that, I pray for safety against the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
Lord, that you would build up and help us to build up a high wall. God, that we would protect what we've learned today. That we would not let the devil, as a bird, come and steal away this precious seed. I pray that it would bear fruit in our lives. And God, I know that our families, I know the co-workers, I know other Christians are not going to understand what happened to us this weekend. But we don't care. We just want to love you, and we want it to show. God, I pray that we would be real today and tomorrow and forever because of what you've done in our lives, especially this weekend. You've always done only good, but you did something special good today. And this weekend, bless us as we go home now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Say goodbye to everyone.